You get a chance to continue my legacy here in Pinstripes, you know, in the, you know, best city in the world, the best baseball city in the front of the best fans. This is an incredible honor.
That one's driven deep to left field. There's a flight. See ya. A long home run for Judge.
Gerrit Cole goes the distance.
Stanton homered again. Trapped him on air.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
Thank you for once again joining us for an episode of the Four Train Savages podcast, episode number 152. Tyler, the Yankees just wrapped up a series in Oakland at the Oakland Coliseum. They dropped the first game. Very disappointing. Me and you were both texting back and forth. We're saying, what the hell's going on with this team? Why are we losing the first game? But then history happens in game two. Very oddly, unsuspecting, Domingo Herman throws a perfect game. The 24th perfect game.
It sounds insane.
It sounds insane. The 24th perfect game in MLB history. The fourth Yankee to throw a perfect game, along with Don Larson, David Cone, and David Wells.
Those D's, Rob.
The D's go ahead and the four D's go ahead and throw perfect games for the Yankees, and they pass the Chicago White Sox in all-time team perfect games. So that was a cool stat there. But
did you see that stat? Was that from Instagram? You saw that?
I think yeah, it was the MLB graphic.
Their social. Yeah. I'm gonna be honest. I saw that and I was like, why the heck do I care about
I guess it's a quirky, cool thing for the Yankees. An unbelievable performance yesterday from Domingo Herman, and then the Yankees go ahead and take the series today against Oakland.
99 pitches, too.
Very good pitch count. I think I saw David Cone say something about that. He said that was one of the most impressive parts about it, to keep it under 100 for Domingo.
Yeah, 9 Ks,
but
too.
The Yankees win three straight series coming off of Oakland, Texas, and Seattle. And then this weekend they head into St. Louis once again at Busch Stadium. But the Yankees, after that game, Tyler, on that game on Tuesday, the Yankees...
Tomorrow's Friday.
Yeah, tomorrow's Friday. Just so flustered after what happened in the series. But it was a crazy turnaround, because you lose to the worst team in baseball, just flat out worst team in baseball. This team does not, the Oakland A's do not care about winning. They are trying to move out of that stadium. And then you go ahead on Thursday or Wednesday night. I'm getting my days completely messed up. You go ahead on Wednesday night.
West Coast trip, Rob. We don't know what's going on.
At 9:40 games time start, and at past midnight, I don't know if it was past midnight, but Domingo Herman goes ahead and throws a perfect game and makes history. And first away perfect game for the Yankees, which was also somewhat odd. I think it would have been – it was still a very cool moment, but
there's probably more Yankees fans there than A's fans.
Oh, 100%. But I was thinking this to myself, and I saw a few takes out there too, that it would have been so much cooler, at least because
– in Yankee Stadium.
Because me and you were both – born around, or we didn't see David Cone or David Wells throw a perfect game, and I think it would have been
like our generation hasn't.
I think it would have been really cool to see it at the stadium in that environment in the modern day Yankee Stadium. Would have been really cool to see and the crowd reaction, but nonetheless, a perfect game is a perfect game, and the Yankees go ahead and take this series. And like I said, of dropping that first game on Tuesday, I think that it definitely juiced me back up a little bit from where I was, because I was saying to you, I
feel like you were a little more upset than I, because some of Twitter was like,
I mean, come on, you gotta sweep the Oakland A's.
Listen,
you gotta sweep.
I
know we talk about winning series,
I do hear that,
but you gotta sweep the Oakland A's.
It was just tough for me to be mad after beating the Rangers, like, because I was like, dude, Rangers are top three team in the league. Take two out of three against them. It was tough for me to be like, all right, the world's on fire right now, which it seemed like some of Yankees Twitter was. At least for a little bit.
Not the world's on fire.
It was bad because of the offensive showing. Like, the offensive showing made it way worse. Like, lose that game 9-7, and I doubt anyone's as mad. But JD being your only source of offense game one, you score one run. Burrito gives you a good outing. Leaves a yucky taste in my mouth.
It showed you the state of the team a little bit. But then they go ahead out. And in the game that Domingo Germán throws a perfect game, which also I think is an under...
saves the bullpen, too.
I don't want to say underappreciated, but like a weird aspect of this was that it was an 11-0 game. And Germán never took his foot off the gas of the way that he was performing. Kept hammering those curveballs, as Matt Blake said. Was very aggressive when it came to that pitch.
21 of the 27 outs were on curveballs.
And then game three today, they go ahead and score 10 runs. So a way to bounce back, but I'm still I'll just say it now because there's a lot more to talk about that's in a positive light. But to drop that first game, I'm still just pretty pissed at, but it is what it is.
Oh, stop it. What is that? What are they, five out of six against Oakland this year?
Yeah, it's you got to win games against the Oakland A's, man. What are you doing?
If they lost the series, I would have been annoyed. But in retrospect, I really could care less about the game one now.
Well, at one point in time, because of the amount of teams that are stacked up in this wild card race right now, those games matter. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm up.
No, every game matters. But then I'm still looking at the standings, and I'm like, there's only three teams with a better record than us in the American League right now.
It's gonna heat up past the All-Star break, but they won the series,
sure.
Three straight series wins. That's what matters. And we go ahead and we get to talk
are they
about
doing what we asked of them, basically? Since Judge has been out, so far they're driving the ship in neutral, or what's the thing called when you.
Just
when you don't, you can just put your car in driver, not drive.
They're just treading water right now.
But that's not the thing I'm thinking of. When you put your car in it, you don't have to.
Oh, cruise control.
Cruise control. Yes, they're in cruise control right now.
After those really bad performances against Boston, they're ending June on a better note. Yes.
Yeah. Which is all I can kind of ask for, I feel like, for the most part.
It all depends if what we get from
if
Mr.
Judge
Aaron
ever
Judge.
Plays
so
baseball.
Let's save that. Yeah. Let's save that for later because that's a lot to talk about. Carlos Rodon, in positive news, is expected to make his debut on June 5th against the Oakland A's. The Baltimore Orioles. So we finally get to see Carlos Rodon to see if he's a real person or not, and we get to see him pitch. So I think that's the final.
I can't wait.
The final game of that series, unless that's a four-game set against Baltimore.
I think it is. I think it's the last game before the All-Star break. And what? He's probably going to throw 80 pitches max.
It is a four-game set, but they play Chicago one last time before the All-Star break on that weekend. So it will be his one start, and then we won't see him until after the All-Star break, which hopefully when I'm out in Colorado, for those of you that don't know, I will be going out to that first series after the All-Star break, and I'm hoping I get to see Cole and Rodon.
You'll see him again.
Yeah, I hope I get to see. Those are the guys I get to see. But big news.
Why do they play one? They play one game against the White Sox?
Chicago Cubs. They play three games. To start next week is four games against. So no more off days from here on out until the All-Star break. And then they play four against. They finish this weekend against St. Louis. Then they play four against Baltimore. And then three against Chicago. And then it's the All-Star break. So Rodon will probably only get one of those starts. But we finally get to see him, which is huge news. I think
it's easy to forget that he was, outside of Aaron Judge, obviously, he was our signing to make us, a 99-win team better than last year. Like, he was the dude that was supposed to be, obviously, a big impact on this team. So I'm looking forward to seeing him shove. I'm still confident when he's on the tit, Rob, he's going to shove.
Yeah.
He's going to be a top 5-7 pitcher in baseball.
Gotta hope so. You're paying him like it. So that's the big news that came out this week that was in a positive light, as well as Ian Hamm.
Yeah,
Ian Hamilton makes his return today.
The pen is stacked, Rob.
The bullpen is the clear bright spot of this Yankees team, without a doubt.
Uh-huh.
The offense has been, outside of these last 2 days and that last
abysmal
game, has been very tough watch.
And it's been like that for how many years now, at least? Since 2019? You could probably chalk that up to
2019.
Since 2019. So I'm saying, I'm counting 2019 was a good year for them offensively.
2021.
2021's.
I think 2021, technically, they weren't as bad, oddly enough.
Why am I blanking on 2020? 2021, we lost in a one-game wild card. But that was a Joey Gallo. Like, that was annoying, dude. That was Joey Gallo and Brett Gardner on the same team. Gio Urshela playing short.
This is easily, though, I think the worst that the offense has ever been since the Baby Bombers era started. I think this is the worst offense.
Especially because they don't even get on base.
Yeah, they don't. Like, the guys that got on base with DJ and all these and Stanton's hitting below the Mendoza line. Volpe, though, has looked good in this last series, as we'll dissect. So,
chicken parm, man.
But this Yankees team, let's dive right in.
Let's do it.
Oakland, game one, Johnny Brito on the mound, goes 5 2/3, 4 hits, 2 earned runs, 2 walks, 2 Ks. So not a stellar start, but something that
– solid.
But a solid start before he then got optioned to AAA. It was AAA.
Yep.
But he put them in an opportunity to win, and the offense just did not show up. And Josh Donaldson hit one of his meaningless home runs. But he actually had some meaningful blasts today. And then the game two, he had a double, I believe, or a sack fly. Yeah, a double and a sack fly in game two. So I can't get on him too bad because he had a good series. Oddly enough, he had like 6 or 7 strikeouts. I think Max Goodman put out an interesting stat saying,
"Yeah, six for his last 9 six of his 9 ABs were Ks in this series or something." That was going into like the third inning or something. Today.
Talk about home run or strikeout. Josh Donaldson is doing just that.
Which is fine if you're hitting ninth, but you're hitting like cleanup.
So
or around there.
Just a horrible way to start off the series, and just a bad way to kick it off. Volpe had a really solid game in this series, though.
Mm-hmm.
Or just had a solid series and then a solid game in here. I think he went 3 for 3, got on base. Was able to get on second towards the end, but Higgy wasn't able to get him in to tie the game. So, but Volpe, after that chicken parm, has looked quite good after Austin Wells gotten his
which brain. Almost aggravates me, honestly.
Aggravated at Dylan Lawson.
Yeah, it's like, how do we not figure that out? I mean, I know we already did a whole thing on this, but it's seriously, was that it? I hope not. But he's got his average above 200 now, Rob.
He's got it back. I think the encouraging thing is we want, it's not even the home runs. Like, the home runs have been a positive, but he could be a guy that hits 20 home runs, but that's not what we're really looking for. Like, we want that. We want him as a weapon on the bases and running.
Yeah, he's got to have some natural, like pure hit skill, too. And in this series, Rob, he had 7 hits and no Ks. Yeah,
because that...
Like, that's what you want to see.
That's what this team has been missing. So I think that...
Speed too.
And getting on base, and especially if DJ's taking a turn... away from what he's been, then you're going to need some guy to pick up the slack in that department. And if Volpe can do that, you're saying sign us up.
Yeah, very much so, sign us up.
All right, so before we talk about Domingo, so game two, let's talk about what happened in the offensive on the offensive side of the ball. So Stanton finally hits a home run. His last home run before this, I think, was June 16th, was that City Field series. Which was a while ago. I mean, that's a 2 week span, a little over a 2 week span.
And that was like one of his only hits since he's been back.
But
You see how he threw the bat after
that?
Yeah,
he was saying...
He's like, I'm so tired of this freaking shit.
You know, he's saying, thank effing God, you know?
Yeah, thank God. About effing time.
The battery mate for Domingo Germán, Kyle Gashioka, hit a double in this to put them up 2-0. Then the top of the fifth was a big inning. Volpe got on with a bunt single to get in... Higashioka then on a throwing error by J.P. Sears. D.J. LeMahieu then singles to left. And then Stanton gets a single around the shortstop position a little bit there. I think it got under the glove, but was, I mean, just a rocket. And then got two more runs in. IKF had a really under-the-radar series. IKF homer today. But IKF,
man, do I love IKF.
Wow.
Seriously.
How about that? Just it's been...
We should check out one of the clips from last year of us just ripping IKF.
Character
and then
development.
Me just like, I love IKF. Yeah, character development for sure. He's grown on me. Has he grown on me?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I was looking at his line today, and he doesn't even play every day. I'm saying, geez, just to show you, that's one of the better lines on the Yankees roster at the moment.
And he's kind of, he like has some pop to his swing sometimes, too.
He's way over the over of what we said he would hit.
Yeah, what was the line? Like 2.5 or something?
Like 3 or 4.5. But now that he's well, that's because mainly
I think he's at 5
now.
Yeah,
mainly because we thought he wasn't going to be on the team, but he's here and he's making an impact.
Now he's just plays everywhere apparently.
He's doing it. And then throughout the rest of the game, Josh Donaldson sack fly, Bader grounds out no fielder's choice, gets in a run, Donaldson then a double. And IKF, another ground out fielder's choice. So the big story, the big story in this one, history with Domingo Germán pitching a perfect game, the fourth in Yankees history, the 24th in MLB history. I think the craziest thing to me of how he was able to get this perfect game was that how bad he looked against Seattle. And then the previous one
gave up 10 runs
against Boston. I was there at Fenway. Miserable
game.
What
did
he
give up there, like 7 or 9 or something?
Somewhere around there. It's just a miserable game to sit through. Another miserable game at Yankee Stadium. And for him to bounce back in this way and go 9, I mean, I told you while we were watching.
It's baseball Susan.
That is baseball Susan. I mean, just going through that, you say – What a polar opposite. I mean, you go out and you throw a perfect game.
Literally.
Goes 9 innings pitched, obviously. 0 earned runs, 0 walks, 0 hits, 9 strikeouts. And we mentioned it. His curveball was really working. Matt Blake was saying how he wanted him to be more aggressive coming off those two terrible starts against Seattle and Boston when it came to that pitch. And he came out and was working the curveball as well as being aggressive with the fastball on the A's lineup. And he goes out and he just looked really, really good. And a lot of times when it comes to no hitters and perfect games, there's usually
everything's got to go right.
Everything's got to go right. And then there's also times where there's that one play or that one big moment. But it seemed like the defense really held it together. I know there was a throw by Donaldson that was a little bit off the bag that Rizzo had to reach over and get. But for the most part, I think it was one of the more cleaner perfect games.
Perfect games.
So,
yeah.
But what was your takeaways from it?
I mean. First takeaway is the A's are bad. I'm going to be honest. It was tough to see some of the ABs they were putting up. But, I mean, you can't fake a perfect game. I mean, pitchers that are going out in a rehab start, they're not going out there in Double-A and throwing a perfect game because it's not easy. Like I said, you can't walk a hitter. Everything has to go right. But it was really cool to see Domingo just literally having the curveball working. And something that I didn't love about this, Rob, is some people on Twitter, now this is a little, you know, drama, I don't know how deep we'll get into this, but some people on Twitter saying, oh, I can't celebrate this, or I can't be happy for Domingo, and like, you know, dude hasn't done a great thing in life, or didn't do a great thing, but you gotta celebrate, you know, a really big thing for this team, something that can kind of kick the Yanks into gear, hopefully. And I thought it was really cool to see Herman super emotional during his little celebration, and then after mentioning his uncle, getting the whole team involved. So I thought it was big for just a little team morale, especially after game one, when we had fans like ourselves pretty down in the dumps, just regarding everything.
Yeah, it definitely feels like one of those moments that can be something that catapults your team and brings you for you know, more together and puts you in a better position to go on a streak or play better. But like going back to it, I was looking through the Twitter feeds and looking through everything and a lot of the takes. Like my opinion on it is, I forget who it was on Twitter, but had a really good perspective on it, and it was like,
was it the librarian?
Yeah, I think it was him. He said,
I think I saw that, it too.
Like, he chose not to celebrate, or doesn't have to celebrate the human that did it. Celebrate the accomplishment for the team, and you could really go either way of what it was. You could take the point of view of he served the punishment, and you saw the way that the Yankees have embraced him, and it looks like the Yankees have really, his teammates have welcomed him back after that incident at CC's charity event. And that they're looking at it saying, he made the mistake, he owned up to it. It wasn't like he was going away from the accusations or anything, or was defending himself. He took what he did and he was responsible for it. And then you also say at the same time, like, he went ahead and just like took ownership and went out and pitched for the Yankees. He pitched for the Yankees and did what he did. And it's just, you can look at it from like the, I can't tell people how to feel about, like, there's no way you could tell people how to feel, because it's such just a, would it have been better?
It's a sensitive topic. It's a strange scenario.
It's a super
scenario.
Sensitive topic, but it's just like, if, yeah, it would have been much better if it was a guy who didn't have what happened in his past.
The past that he has. But, yeah, exactly. I do know if I, here's my kind of stance on it. It was like, listen, if I did something really bad in my life, you know, to that extent, I would hope after a couple years and of serving my punishment, whatever it may be, that didn't necessarily define me.
Yeah.
You know, it can be a part of me, but it doesn't have to define me. And I think that's the picture I'm looking at.
Yeah. Because, you know? I mean, we live, I'm sure, well, most of our listeners, I would think, are from the U.S. or live in the U.S. and we're from the land of opportunity and the land of second chances in the U.S. And like, that's what the Yankees and Major League Baseball did, and you could have your feelings on it either way, but
and it was awesome to see how the team, like, everyone was so fired up for him. Rizzo and him seem like they have a little thing going on. Rizzo was loving it.
I will say, because it's similar of with Chapman's past of when he was there, like the way that Domingo sort of interacts, and this is just me as a fan looking at videos and watching him on the sidelines.
Outside looking in.
Like the way that Chapman interacted with the team does not seem similar to what Domingo does. I think that Domingo is far more invested, and they sort of have a better rapport, and Chapman's sort of seemed completely distant and secluded from what they were doing. And you're saying, like, the way that Judge embraced him and Rizzo embraced him and Higgy was just,
and Stanton and Nestor,
of them. It seems like, and I don't know, maybe it's just because of a perfect game, but we watch every game, and I've seen it before on different instances when he goes out there and he pitches. Yeah. So,
and he gets a standing ovation, and then, you know, players got nice things to say about him in the presser. So, listen, I'm happy for Mingo, honestly, especially with the whole thing about his uncle too. Like, you know, that's the kind of the perfect, you know, unfortunate that his uncle passed, but the perfect story. You know, emotional thing happens right before, and then he goes out and has the game of his life. 24 ever, wild.
The
25 with Galarraga or whatever his name is.
The thing too that we talk about with Domingo in those past two starts that he had that were just god awful.
Yeah, that was just weird.
It honestly,
and I said, "Is he cheating?" I said, "Was he cheating?" I go, "Was he cheating?"
It honestly was weird. But the thing too, like we've always said, and on this podcast, that he has this weird ability of, we knew he was an 18 game winner in 18 before the incident.
Mm-hmm.
But he also too, like we'd always say, he could, on any given night, he can go out and get you that 7 innings pitch, no run ball, and have just a dominant start. And you say, like, you look around, you go, who is this guy?
Like, yeah, that Herman just shoved.
And he can on any given night do that. We know back in, I think it was either a year or two ago, when he pitched at Fenway and he brought a no hit bid into like the 8th inning. That was one of the.
I feel like he's done this a couple times. I feel like he's done it a couple times this year too.
Yeah,
Rob.
I mean.
Like into the 5th or the 6th or something
like
that.
Yeah, it was one of the reasons why, you know, even the Yankees gave him that second chance, and I know a lot of people, for the reasons that they hold, that they aren't willing to give him that second chance, and they don't want mm-hmm. him there, which is understandable, but it was...
Yeah, which is fine.
It was why I say, like, on any given night, he can be such a, like, a just a good starter, which is just very odd, and to have that as your... 4th or 5th in the rotation is such an asset for the Yankees mm-hmm. starting rotation. It's like, why wouldn't you want to have that if he did serve his time and he did everything and he walked the line correctly, which he has done, and he's been a model citizen, and it seems like, you know, his relationship is in a good place. So and we don't know the full story now, and it's just like, you know, he's pitching. So
you know, he's been in the org for forever.
Did he? Was he? He was a Marlin, I heard. I heard someone say.
Yeah, so he was a Marlin until 2014. He became a Yankee in 2016. So he's probably up there with longest tenured Yankee outside of, like, Higgy, Judge 2016. Who else? Is that it?
Is Gardner in the dugout anywhere?
Yeah, hiding somewhere. Because it was probably Monty would be in that conversation before him, but Herman's probably been in the org longer than everyone else, honestly.
Yeah, he's been there for a while, man.
It says a lot. They've put up with some of his nonsense, obviously, and then
that just
stuck it out with him.
That just shows you, like, why his
they clearly wanted him. Yeah, they clearly believe in
also,
him.
Also, too, I would say this, like, the fact that he pitched a no-hitter – honestly may have bought him extra perfect game. The fact that he pitched a perfect game may have extended his time in baseball, just because it's like, oh, he pitched a perfect game, he may have something in the
yeah
bank.
Exactly, like, just give him like, even if he burns out, he'll get an extra shot.
Jack Curry too said on the, they were talking about it on the pregame show before today's game, that like, he's kind of gonna run into a cash flow because of the events and the amount of people that want, like, perfect game.
Just because of his name out there,
to be
too,
a part of that 24, as such an exclusive club as it is for Major League Baseball over 100 years, like...
So crazy. That's only happened 24 times. Yeah.
And
24?
There was... I saw some opinions, too, that, like, this is the worst thing that Major League Baseball could have ever hoped for, that he would be the one... throwing the perfect game. I mean,
that's like just a weird.
It is a little weird.
You know?
I
like, don't let him in the league.
I think it'd be in their ideal world, like if Rob Manfred sitting in his little corner, all dark and mischievous, and he's like, I don't. He would probably say, yeah, maybe I'd rather not have that guy get the perfect game. But I don't think that they're. I don't think that they're...
Yeah, is he... I mean, is he the poet? Like, yeah, would they rather have Shohei pitch
absolutely.
A perfect game? Obviously. You know, he's the face of baseball. I mean, Herman... No one... I bet, you know, 90% of casual baseball fans learned who Domingo Herman was yesterday.
Yeah.
You know? Outside of Yankee land, do we really think that many people know who Domingo Herman is, or outside of at least the AL East land? You know?
Yeah.
I doubt there's many... you know, Miami Marlins fans that are, like, you know, looking in on Domingo
Herman.
Even
knew he was a part of the team.
Exactly.
So. Joins the list.
Good for Domingo.
Don Larson, David Wells, David Cone, and Domingo Germán, the four Ds.
The core four Ds.
Not double Ds, not triple Ds, four Ds.
Quadruple Ds.
But it was...
what are the jokes we have today, huh?
So let's talk about game three that happened today. Mm-hmm. The Oakland A's go ahead and start it off in the bottom of the first with a sac fly to go up 1-0. Then Isaiah Kiner-Falefa with a home run in this one. IKF. Oh, hot. Very hot in this series.
Is he getting busy, baby?
And then Brown in the bottom of the third singled to get in another run. Perez then a sac fly to put the A's up 3-1. And then once again, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Oh, hot. Goes ahead and hits a sac fly to get in Bader. Top of the sixth. That man, Josh Donaldson.
Two big innings for the Yankees in this series, huh?
Josh Donaldson hits a two-run home run to put the Yankees up, and then they never looked back.
472
JD feet. Homer, long bomb, absolute, just crazy. Torres singles, gets in Trevino and Volpe. Giancarlo Stanton with a double, which was huge. Great to see Big G. Hopefully, we don't care if it's the Oakland A's that is the team that gets him going.
I'm telling you, he just needed to see that one more.
Go over the Harrison fence. Bader, single to center. And then, geez, IKF comes back around. Top of the sixth with a single to right. Gets in Stanton. They go up 10-3. And then late in the eighth, Rooker close it to 10-4. And the Yankees win 10-4. A big series win, it's good to not lose.
A very much needed series win,
because if you lose this series to the Oakland A's, it's like, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah, and we got to go into the All-Star break with at least a little. We don't even need momentum. You just can't be on a downward spiral. And losing to Oakland would be the start of one. You see Ken Waldichuk in mop-up duty for them, dude. So is he, like, just a bust? It's kind of good for Cashman pulling the strings on that or pulling the trigger? It's not like we got anything out of it.
So
but,
far, Frankie Montas is a bust. So I...
and Lou Trevino would, you know, nice to see him at some point. But Ken Waldichuk and J.P. Sears both pitching this.
Well, you know what I have to say to that? They all...
They stink!
They all suck.
Yep. Clark with another solid start, Rob. 5 1/3, 3 earned.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, 3 Ks, 3 walks. He didn't look good, but he didn't give up 6.
Mm-hmm. It's good that
I think Clark is going
to
hang
around. Don't be a starter that, you know, loses to Oakland. I don't put too much on Johnny Brito because the Yankees just.
God, you really hate the A's, huh, Rob?
It's just, you can't lose. You can't lose to them. I mean,
they got to win. It's baseball. They got to win some games.
They have 20.
21-62
is
quite the record.
They had 20 wins. They can't move out of that stadium fast enough.
Kansas City, I mean, I've kind of forgotten how bad they are. Like, they're 23-58. And they've been tanking forever. And they don't have anyone on their team. Zach Greinke.
Yeah.
What's the point of paying him?
Wants to retire there is the whole
thing. Yeah, back
on. All right, let's do, before we talk about the judge stuff, let's talk about our savages of the series.
I got some fucking savages in that fucking box, right?
I guess I'll go with the obvious one. Mr. Domingo Germán himself, the perfect game man this week. Savage of the series. We'll probably have him on our Instagram Savage of the Week too. I mean, that's just a given. If you aren't following us, go ahead over there at 4Train Savages. Go follow us on the Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, everything. But just a stellar performance by Domingo. I know we talked about that it's against the Oakland A's, but like, man, it's not easy to pitch a perfect game in at any level of baseball, really. Like, it's just hiccups happen. things happen in the game that just don't allow you to have a clean game like that. There's a reason at the highest level of professional baseball that it's only happened 24 times. And despite it being against the Oakland A's, like, if it was so easy, then why haven't any other teams or other pitchers taken advantage of it? It's because it's so difficult to do, but Domingo was able to capitalize on it and etch his name in history. So Domingo Germán, savage of the series. I hope this is the trend for him in the right direction to then have him as a, I mean, if this is the way, if he even sniffs, you know, just give us quality starts, and that's the guy that's the 4-5.
Just keep doing what you're doing.
Him and Clark are the 4-5. Besides the last two starts, and they're pitching the way that they are right now, then like that's a good spot to be in. That is a good spot to be in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Coming off a perfect game is a good spot to be in.
More so.
No, I'm just busting.
More so
your
the
no.
Even if just give me quality starts. That's.
I mean, literally, he's had a good year outside of like his 17 run.
If he didn't have those two blow up starts, I would.
He'd probably be down to like a middle of a 3 ERA.
Yeah, those were bad. Those were very bad.
Yeah, they weren't great, Rob.
Not what you want.
I'd consider that savage of the series well deserved, Rob, if I may say. I don't remember if I gave it to him last week, but maybe I just have a soft spot, but I gotta go Volpe, and it could have went to G, it could have went to a couple people, but it could have went to IKF.
I don't want
to
mention IKF.
Volpe, 7 hits in this series, Rob, 7 for 12, 2 runs scored, 1 walk, no ribbies in this series, but the big thing to me that I stated earlier, no Ks. I mean, the guy was leading the team in strikeouts, I believe, and just racking up the case. So for me to see him go 7 for 12, get that average up out of the 190s up to 208 in this series, big for me, big for Volpe, big for Austin Wells' chicken parmy dinner dates. AV, baby, I think he's coming. Right after the All-Star break, we're going to see a little bit of liftoff, a little bit of takeoff. I'm giving it to Volpe.
Good stuff. All right. Our MVPs of sucking.
They stink.
So I gotta go. I gotta look at the rot. Do you have anybody in mind right now? I gotta just because I mean the way that they played.
I know. I don't at the moment, but I know there's got to be someone.
We could do this. We could say just the over. The way that they
just game one
is the easiest way to go, and. I can't give it to. I mean, Higgy had the double, and he's the battery mate.
Yeah,
we could pick on.
Yeah, you can't give it to him.
We could. No, I'm not giving it to him.
Does DJ have a chance to get it?
He does have a chance. The ones that I was thinking between, although but the DJ had an RBI today, so it's like
DJ went 2 for 12.
I mean, you got
1K, a couple walks though, and
Trevino
a ribby.
Didn't make much noise. You know what? I think I'm gonna make an executive decision here.
Do it. This is both.
We have a perfect game here going on. We're not going to screw up the vibes with MVPs of sucking this week. We're not doing that.
No, we're not.
Okay, they dropped game one. We're going to give it to game one. That's what we're going to say. That was just a horrible performance and by the offense. Johnny Brito gave you a position to win, and we don't want to pick on too many people because like they went out and they picked it up. In many different areas, like Stanton coming out, IKF had a good game. Billy McKinney actually didn't get too much burn. He got in at the ends of the game. I did notice that he wasn't playing in these lineups, especially after his hot series or his hot week last week, which was interesting. But I'm sure he'll probably get some more.
It's probably
because
Stanton got 2 games, and we forgot to mention
two games in right field,
back to back in the outfield.
Coincidence that he hits
a home
run.
What do you know, Rob? Yeah, it's almost as if statistics back it up.
We said it last week. We had a few clips about it. Put him in the outfield. Look what happens.
He's literally said it too. He's been like, yeah, I feel better when I'm in the outfield.
They finally did it, and it's clearly paying off, which it's just like, ugh, about time.
It's one of those things that's just kind of annoying to when it happens because it's like so obvious.
All right, so we'll move past those MVPs of sucking. which was the game
Judgey
one.
Boy.
And let's talk about Aaron Judge, man. I think very shortly, while we're recording right now, they're announcing the All-Stars. We got a few announcements. No Yankees at the moment. A lot of Texas Rangers. Holy moly. Yeah, it's Simeon.
I've been telling
Seager,
you, bro. Their lineup is just time. Game.
Four guys in the starting lineup.
Did Jung make it too?
Is it Young or Jung? Yeah, I heard someone say.
Is it Jung? It's probably Jung. You're probably right.
But so we'll wait to see if Judge is announced there. But Aaron Judge came out and said that he was still dealing with discomfort. And they just reiterated that there is no real timetable of when he'll be back.
Well, he was the first one to come out and be like, I have a torn ligament.
Yeah.
Yanks never told us that. They were like, yeah, sprained toe, sprained
so
ligament.
So maybe the Yankees were a little upset it's that he classic. Spoiled that information. But
Don't care.
I mean, we'd rather know the truth and know what we're dealing with rather than just letting it linger like they've done with injuries in the past. Yeah. But.
And he said, he's like, I still have pain when I walk.
Yesterday,
that's not
yesterday
good.
He threw in the outfield, played a little bit of catch. So they're somewhat ramping him back up. I mean, he's doing the bare minimum, which is playing catch.
And he played today. Do you think any of that, Rob, is literally a PR move?
I mean, it's a toe injury. He's going out there and throwing. They're like, go out and throw a little couple baseballs and see if they.
Yeah, don't move too much. Just,
I mean, we saw on the celebration, he was like walking out there, and people were like, but there was one that I had the quote tweet that was saying, oh, he's limping out there. Yeah, what do you want him to sprint?
Yeah, no shit. I hope he. Yeah, if he was sprinting out there, everyone would have been pissed off him doing that.
So, yeah, that is what's going on with Judge because it's.
I just don't even know.
The Yankees are in the dark on it, the Judge is in the dark on it. And we just don't know. We said, oh, maybe there's a chance in 20 some odd days after the All-Star break that he gets back, he'll play. But I don't think that right after the All-Star break, I don't think that's happening. What was my original safe one? I think
would be the homestand after the Angels.
I think it was around the 20th
against the Royals. 21st, yeah.
So I'm.
Still 3 weeks away.
I'm readjusting my thinking to say this guy's going to be back in mid-August. At the earliest.
Yeah, you got to hope.
At the earliest. And, like, because they don't know, like, I hate to say it, but it could be on the table that he may not play at all or he may not play until September.
100%.
Like, that's on the table. I hate to say it. I'd want to hold faith because the Yankees are in a playoff position that you want your best player, but it's on the table that he may not play again this season if it is that bad, but we're going to hope that it just turns for the better and that he's able to rehab and get in a better position to play. But, like, they don't know, and we don't know as fans, and it's just no one has the right answer until he just has to feel it out and he has to just do his due diligence and the training staff and everything and see if he gets back. So then that puts the Yankees they're still in the playoff position, but then it's like, all right, you guys got to think, like, we may not have this guy for a while, and we gotta put our foot on the gas, and maybe we can't just tread water. Maybe we have to do better than that to stay competitive and stay in the playoff position. So,
yeah. And what are the odds, Rob, that even when he comes back, you know, assuming he does, you know, God willing, knock on wood, what are the odds you're getting an actual pain-free, 100% healthy Aaron
Judge?
That's
a good question.
My gut tells me zero, honestly. Like, I don't see a world in where he comes back and he's like, oh, I don't even realize my toe anymore. You know? Like, what are the odds that we don't get a news update from Brian Hoke 3 weeks after the season ends, or the, you know, playoff ends or whatever? Like, Aaron Judge went under a successful surgery at Yada Yada Hospital to fix a blank Y and Z ligament in his toe. I feel like that's set in stone.
Well, like, that's the thing. It's
they did the same thing with Luke Voit. Remember he had plantar fasciitis and whatnot?
Or you just know, like,
they let him play through it.
DJ in 21, we were saying, like,
with his hernia,
last year's foot.
Well, he had the hernia, he had the hernia 2021, and then he had the foot.
So we literally went through the same thing of he didn't opt for surgery in the off season. It was just that it was a time. He needed time to get better, And that's what... Mm-hmm.
Didn't DJ have some nerve issues down there?
Was it a ligament? Well, like, I saw something that... Remember when it was being thrown out that Judge was... It was something along the lines of turf toe, but I think that they said that... Then they said that it wasn't. It wasn't...
Yeah.
It was something different with the ligament. So... Like
he's got two ligaments.
They just don't know, and it's. Uh-huh. I mean, it sucks because it's just a little part on your body, but it means so much because he's on his feet doing, and he's 6'8" and he's massive, and
it's his back foot too. I don't know. Or they do know, Rob, and they're like,
just not saying.
Best case scenario is mid-August. Yeah. And they don't want to come out and say
that. The thing, too, I saw that I think Boone said was he won't really be feeling not super optimistic, but, like, his confidence level, the time where he'll start feeling a lot better of where Judge is at is if he's taken serious batting practice, which we don't know if he's going to be doing that until after the All-Star break or whenever. So just stay off your feet. Yeah, stay off your feet, Judgy, and just – try and get that thing better, because I don't know. I don't know what this team is without them. They're mediocre, honestly, not a good offense.
They're a pedestrian third wild card team.
Yeah.
If without Judge, you know, like just hovering like an 88 win team, because
that's what they've shown us.
Without Judge,
we have no other stuff to go off of other than what they've given us in 2023.
Which is kind of, like, I don't want to say it's fine, but at least they have to understand the team they are right now, right? Like, they got to lean on pitching. They have to keep leaning on their pen, unfortunately. And you really got to hope that you don't burn out your pen and burn out your pitchers like you have done every year. Mm-hmm. You know, we're constantly leaning on the pen.
Yeah.
Because we're not putting up enough offense. Yanks have a home series July 31st against Tampa. Like, is that a new, you know, target date? I just don't even know if July's in play.
I don't think it
anymore.
I do not think it's in play. I think, all right, let's do a little
schedule. Like, what's the most, like, even if he sits and does nothing for three more weeks, then you're playing Kansas City at home. He's got to have at least 2 weeks to get back in the gear.
You know what I'm going to say is the earliest, and I don't know what you're going to feel. It sucks for me because I'm going to both of these games or both of these series. But I really think they have a really long road trip to start in August. They play Chicago for three games, and they play Miami for three games, and they play Atlanta for three games. August 18th, they play against Boston at home. Like if it's this bad, that may be the earliest I'm thinking he may be back. But it could change with some sort of development.
And to be fair,
but I'm assuming the worst, which is maybe that's bad on me. Yeah,
you should be. I mean, we've never had anything else to go off of besides the worst. I mean, if they're in the same exact situation that they're in right now. 5 weeks from now, first week of August, they're 9.5 back of the division.
I thought you meant Judge's thing. I was like, oh, then he's not playing for the rest of the year.
No, but seriously, and Judge still hasn't come back. First week of August, they're a game up in the second wild card, and they're 9.5 back of the division. Honestly, what's the rush?
Yeah.
Because if you're a game up in the wild card, your mindset might as well be, hey, all I need is Judge to get a month of live ABs.
No, that may be what happens.
To get ready for the postseason. That's probably their game plan right now. They're like, let's see how far we can ride this thing out without him. Let's see how long we can tread water for, like you said, and then we'll get him back. So maybe that, I don't know.
Yeah.
They're not going to rush it, obviously, as they shouldn't.
No. Because, I mean, this is a long-term investment, and the way that the team looks right now, there's even questions. So it's like, you know, you need to.
But then
sure.
If they pull a Mets where they drop 16 of 20 games or whatever, then I could see some things where they're like, all right, Judge is ramping it up a little bit. Like, I could kind of see them basing his timeline a little bit off of, off of him, assuming he can't he can't make anything
that's
worse.
Also super,
he's just playing,
that's also
pain,
super
important.
Nightmare scenario if 100%. If they do what the Mets are doing,
dude,
which is,
it's three dudes lately, but
it's just funny what the Mets are doing.
The Mets are
bad.
Every time they lose, and I'm listening to 98.7, you know, ESPN, and everyone's freaking out. In the back of my head, I'm just like, oh, they'll be fine. But then I look, and they're 8 games under 500, Rob.
That's right. And they can't sell because they got $40 million pitchers, and no one's taking that contract other than Steve Cohen.
They're 8.5 back of the wild card. Oh, my God.
They make,
and no one's catching Atlanta.
I don't think they make it in the playoffs, but
look at Atlanta's Baseball Reference page.
I mean, I'm really like pumped. When I go out there, I'm really pumped because I'm going to see a kick-ass Atlanta team. And I won't even be mad if if the Yankees don't have Judge back then, I'll be like, well, that's just a really
whatever.
Good team.
Yeah. I texted my buddy the other day. I was like, so Oakland fire sale. The Braves got Matt Olson and Sean Murphy. You know, top seven
Murphy's
first baseman
really
and top two catcher. Who'd the Yankees get, Rob? Frankie Montas.
Marlins too. I'm seeing both of those teams when I'm going out to see. Marlins are good, 47-34. They're in second place.
The Marlins just must have a pitching lab over there, like Tampa.
Well, and too,
they just it's like Sandy's been bad this
finally,
year, and they've
they're
been good.
They're finally picking up the position guys. Like Arias, having him in the lineup. Soler is a good dude to have in there. So
just had to get that guy Derek Jeter out of there, huh?
They just got him out and they started winning, I guess.
Man, just kidding.
We look at, you know, Michael Jordan sold the Charlotte Hornets. I mean, some greats aren't destined to be owners. But yeah, the Judge timeline is a big question mark that we're going to be talking about each time we go on this podcast until he comes back or if he comes back.
Mm-hmm. Have to.
Nonetheless, the Yankees go ahead.
9 games over .500.
The Yankees are, 9 games over .500. Putting it in cruise control, as Tyler tried to say, but we got to the analogy. And they play St. Louis this weekend, which is a last place team in the Central, which is surprisingly the opposite of what we probably thought as baseball fans. I mean, you got the Reds in first, Milwaukee in second, Pittsburgh is in third.
It's just a weird year.
It is a very odd year.
And I love it. I do love it, honestly.
St. Louis is 33-46. They still have talent on that team. Actually, I think Jordan Montgomery will be pitching one of those games against the Yankees.
Got to imagine he's going to be moved, right?
Go back to the Yankees.
I think he's a – no chance do they hold. Like, they're going to sell, right? They got to sell. Monty's a free agent either next year or the year after.
Monty
too.
Will pitch on that Sunday. Yeah, so I think they'll if this is what they keep doing, I think they'll probably sell. They may. I think holding on to Nolan may be because Nolan has a long contract, and they may just.
Well, yeah, and they can put some. You know, him.
They
and
may
Paul
just scrap.
Put seats
they
in the
may
building
just
anyway.
Scrap like this year and just say, all right, we got to keep. They do have talent, but they're just
and they can win their division on a game.
So that's why I'm saying, like, going into this weekend, even though they're a last place team, the Yankees still got to prepare as is to really just.
I mean, they
because you're about to play. Yeah, I was there. They swept my trip, which was not fun.
Yeah.
But before you go head into play against Baltimore back at the stadium, and you go on your home road trip, you gotta. Win some games here and just keep winning series.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the name of the game.
Hopefully the Padres keep losing and they send Juan Soto.
That
to
would
games.
Be awesome. Yeah, that situation. Every year
the media just needs to stop picking their team because they did it with San Diego and they did it with Toronto a couple years ago.
Juan Soto, you are welcome.
I
want to
see
to
the
park.
Yeah, I want to see the Padres crash and burn.
All right. Do you have anything else to take away before we pop off for episode 152?
Nah, man. Go Yanks. Go beat the Cardinals, huh?
Go beat the Cardinals.
Let's go be like 15 games over .500 before we get any All-Star break. How would that
That'd be?
That'd be
cool.
Huh? 15 games over?
I'd like that. That'd be cool.
Winning streak. Why
go
not?
Go into the All-Star break running. Oh, hot. Hot. So we're waiting. Maybe Aaron Judge will be named to a starting All-Star. They haven't officially announced it just yet, so we'll have to wait on that. Domingo Germán goes ahead, throws a perfect game. So it was very cool to see that in our lifetime and see a Yankees no-hitter, the fourth in history. Appreciate you guys for listening to episode 152. As always, be sure to subscribe, leave us a rate and review. Stay up to date on all the podcasts, episodes, as well as follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at 4TrainSavages on Instagram and TikTok, and at 4Savages on Twitter. Thank you once again for listening. Go win the series this weekend against St. Louis and head back home in the Bronx ready to go and finish the All-Star break off strong. Thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you next time.